First Epistle to Timothy, chapter 4, from the verse number 11.
These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
In the verse number 11, the Apostle Paul is passing on the commandment of the Lord. The Apostle received it from the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ received it from the Heavenly Father. Now Timothy is receiving these commandments, or these commandments, from Paul the Apostle. And then the Ephesians disciples are going to receive it from Timothy. The Father and the Son are one, and the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of unity, holiness, righteousness, in the heart of Paul and working in his, Paul's, daily life, makes the Apostle Paul one with the Father and the Son, embracing the words of the Apostle Paul in his heart. With a tearful joy, Timothy is going to continue. Now he is one with the Apostle and the Savior and the Father. And all the Ephesian disciples receiving these commandments, studying the Word of God, meditating upon God's will, are entering and they are getting more tightly knit into that marvelous fabric of God's salvation. And now we are studying the Word of God, meditating upon His will, praying and striving to do His will day by day, because we are also invited into the unity of faith in the Spirit of Christ. In the verse number 9, Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." What is faithful saying? What is worthy of all acceptation? Which are the commandments to commend to the disciples in its proper place and meaning? Every line in the Holy Scripture is one of those things, one of that saying that is faithful and worthy of all acceptation. One of these commandments, guidance, protection, correction, the Spirit of the Lord is applying to us today. I believe it's very interesting and also very important in this verse number 11. These things command and teach. Exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did to His disciples. He commanded them certain things, but He was teaching them afterward, and teaching and teaching and teaching. And close to the end of His teaching, before His passion, His suffering on the cross, He said to the disciples, "I have much more to teach you, but right now you cannot bear that, you cannot take it. Right now it's too heavy for you," because they were too weak. But after they were endued with the power from on high, when the Spirit was working in their hearts and minds, in all its power and wisdom, in its might and love, it was entirely different situation. Now, not only they can bear that with the power that the Lord is providing, they cannot have enough of that. They're hungry and thirsty for more. Their souls being in that loving embrace of the Lord Jesus Christ's Spirit. Desire more and more of that everlasting heavenly love. In the days of Moses, the Lord gave 10 commandments to the children of Israel, and then he gave them all the books and the whole Levitical law to teach them the reason, the value, the true meaning of these commandments. And as the evil spirit, the devil, Satan, the adversary of our souls, was laboring hard and battling fiercely to turn the people of Israel away from the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his grace and mercy and the mighty power of his Spirit, was adding and adding to the Word of God, making it closer and closer to the completion. The historical books, the books of Kings, before that, the first book of Samuel, second book of Samuel, the books of Kings and Chronicles, the prophets, and after so much given to those that will believe, trust, and obey the Lord, finally, there was a day when John the Baptist, I think, ecstatically said to the people around, "Behold, the Lamb of God, the beauty and majesty of heaven in a body similar to ours among us." Hallelujah! All the powers of darkness, hatred, the forces of evil and destruction, the whole host of deception and lie was stirred up, moved against this humble preacher of Nazareth. But this patient sufferer defeated the enemy in the testing in the wilderness. In every clash, he quietly, peacefully defeated the enemy and always was victorious. The living Word of God, before the beginning and forever, remains one with the Father. These are the commandments, his teaching, his example, the Word of God from first book, first chapter, first verse, the first word in the Holy Scripture until the end of the last word of the Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ, our teacher, is visible in every part of this book. Yes, he is commanding us and he is teaching us. Who will obey him will learn from him. In the verse number 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." I don't know how great is the number of the people in this world that are despising the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could only wish and pray the Lord, let there be less despising of the Lord among the professing believers. Timothy cannot prevent the other people from despising him. What he is instructed and encouraged here to do is to be a good example. So if anyone despised him, that will be the fault of the despiser. And we are all instructed by these words, not to give any reason to any man to despise the Word of God, to despise our ministry, to despise the Lord himself, because we misunderstand, misapply, or disobey the Word of God. Let us continue in prayers and striving day after day to be a godly example. Our Lord's living testimony of His abundant goodness and grace upon all those that trust and obey Him. May the Lord give us grace and power, wisdom and understanding, obedience, faithfulness and zeal for His name, that we may share the abundance of His grace among ourselves and encourage one another to reach out to the world around us, the world in such a great need of God's salvation. This living Word of God, from cover to cover, should be always in our heart and mind, in our words and deeds, in every proclamation of the gospel, every declaration of God's will, in every conversation sharing the good news, heralding the day of judgment, proclaiming the day of grace, living the gospel, and speaking the truth in love. The Word of God, in dealing with one another among us, the disciples of the Lord, this word applied with the words or without the words is charity. Charity is practicing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in loving kindness, in patience, when necessary with endurance. As the Lord Jesus told to the Samaritan woman, that the true worshippers will worship God in spirit and in truth. Here we see that our spirit should be filled with the Spirit of God, our mind with His wisdom and understanding, our heart with His intentions, and in our faith, His faithfulness, that we may also grow in faith. Our Lord Jesus is perfectly pure, and here we are encouraged, actually urged, to grow, to progress in purity, to be more and more like Him. These are personal exhortation of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, a faithful disciple, a teacher of the other ministers. In the verse number 13, Paul says, "Until I come, give attendance to reading. It seemed to me that reading the Scriptures, just reading the Scripture, was a regular thing, a necessity, daily bread of the disciples, exhorting, encouraging one another, learning more and more, more clearly, more purely, the doctrines of the Holy Spirit, the teaching, every rule, every admonishment, every advice, guidance, protection and correction. It goes on and on like the river of grace." Verses 11 and 12 seem to be encouragement and instruction in Timothy's work with the other disciples. And the verse number 13 seem to be going in the same direction. But the next three verses, 14, 15 and 16, seem to be concerned with Timothy's personal edification, personal encouragement, and personal good relationship with the Lord, not neglecting the gift that is in himself, in Timothy. And then Paul is saying, which was given thee by prophecy. I'll read that verse. "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbyteries." I do not recall any prophecy of that kind, that some prophets or some servants or ministers of the Lord or some priests would prophesy that someone was going to lay his hand or their hands on a person in order to be ordained in some ministry and some office. On the other hand, there are many instances, many cases recorded in the scripture. Moses, the servant of God, laid his hands upon Joshua, his successor. Jacob, called Israel, laid his hands upon the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. The Lord Jesus Christ was laying on his hands upon the sick people to get healed. The apostles Peter and John laid their hands upon the Samaritan believers that were baptized by Philip. I think it's very possible that all of the Old Testament scriptures, in a way, were a prophecy signifying that something great and wonderful is going to happen someday by the coming of the Messiah. Prophecy is a message from God through the prophet. And not only in the Old Testament, we see in the New Testament also the apostles laid their hands with prayer upon the seven deacons that were elected by the brethren, by the believers, to work with the distribution of food for the needy. I think that's in the book of Acts, chapter 6, probably verse 6 also, or somewhere there. I think it's quite realistic to say that all of the scripture is a message from the Lord. And especially the New Testament is the newest, the freshest message from God Himself in Christ Jesus, recorded by the apostles and by the direct influence and power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul the Apostle is reminding Timothy how it was done once upon a time when Timothy was younger. And Paul is saying to Timothy, neglect not that gift that is in thee. So far, Timothy must have been very busy with all these instructions and exhortation that Paul is sending to Timothy in this epistle. How can Timothy be very busy and still it's necessary for him to be reminded, neglect not that gift that is in thee? I think there is a threat, there is a danger for every disciple that being busy for so long a time, constantly, may tend toward becoming mechanical, a robot, doing the things so routinely without experiencing or being aware fully of the true meaning of all the things that I'm doing. In the verse number 15, Paul is saying, meditate upon these things. I think by meditating and, according to the previous verses, practicing all of this gospel ministry, it's impossible to become negligent. But Paul is not going to leave his job half done. He is continuing. Give thyself wholly to them. These exhortations are so strong. In the verse 11, these things command and teach. Now, teaching a larger number of disciples makes the minister very busy. And then, in the verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example. Being an example means being very busy. It's difficult, impossible to be a passive example, not in the ministry of the Lord, and especially not at Ephesus. And beside all of that, under the supervision and exhortation of the Apostle Paul, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them. The natural consequence or the natural logical result of all of that is thy profiting or thy progress may appear to all Now, this is not the main goal for Timothy. He is encouraged to serve the Lord for the sake of the Lord, to benefit his fellow believers for the benefit of his fellow believers. But in every Christian ministry and in every individual believer's life, if one is striving to be a good example and is very careful about reading, exhortation, doctrine, praying and striving not to neglect the spiritual gift or gifts that are in him, in her, meditating upon these things and giving one's own self wholly to move toward that goal in that direction, to grow in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the growth, the progress, and being an asset to that fellowship must be apparent to all that are looking for such things. The others that might be looking for some reason or some excuse to criticize, to be destructive elements, is going to look everything in a different light. In the verse number 13, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. And now in the verse number 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. It's not always an easy thing to get across to the people's mind that they might understand the doctrine of the Scriptures. But it is absolutely impossible to efficiently teach anyone without having these doctrines inside of me. And even if no one would believe, just as Joshua said to the children of Israel by the end of Joshua's life, you choose today whom you are going to serve, but I and my family, my household, will serve the Lord. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Encourage the others to continue in the doctrine of the Scriptures. But, regardless of the others, you yourself continue in these doctrines. Never change to another doctrine, another direction, another foundation, because there is only one, and that one is Christ the Savior. Doing so, or doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee, them that pay attention, but save from what and unto what? Being diligent, we save ourselves from negligence. Being careful, we save ourselves from carelessness. Being obedient to the Lord, we save ourselves from disobedience. In the verse number 14, Paul is saying, neglect not the gift that is in thee. All these exhortations are actually gifts. Meditation, meditating upon the Word of God and the wonderful work of God is a gift. The doctrines of the Scriptures are gifts. Timothy's ordination is a gift. His ministry is a gift. But all these gifts together were coupled with a lot of suffering, a lot of labor, a lot of prayers and tears, and also a lot of joy and gratitude to the Lord. Timothy is going to benefit from all these gifts if he is going to use them continually. How much more we can only benefit from the gifts of the Lord if we use them, and if we use them for the purpose intended, and that is to honor the Lord and to help fellow believer and to extend the gospel invitation to the unbelievers. The more we use the gifts of the Lord, the more we work with them, the more we benefit, and the more benefit those around us. If we don't use the gifts of the Lord, we cannot benefit from them. Worse than that, every gift and blessing given to us that we neglect is to our condemnation. Timothy is a helper to the Apostle Paul. Timothy is a caretaker and overseer of the church at Ephesus. What else is expected from him? What is he supposed to do? How can he progress more? How can he become more profitable? Ministering, growing, maturing, improving is a lifetime process, and it is also an abundant blessing of the Lord. The way of salvation is a battlefield. Being on the Lord's side is victory. Laboring for the Lord, walking in the light of His Word, we always profit. May the Lord bless His Word in our hearts and minds and in our daily walk, that as Timothy got exhortation from Paul, we, reading and meditating upon these words, may be exhorted, encouraged, strengthened to do the will of the Lord from the heart, rejoicing in His salvation, honoring and glorifying Him that has redeemed us.